This is news director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone for this interview is candidate for Ward 2, Josh Peterson. How's it going today, Josh?
Doing very well, Larissa. Thank you for having me.
I know we're busy as JC's planning our carnival, so I'm glad you were able to take time away from all that planning to join me on the phone today.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So why don't we start with a little bit of background about yourself, in case people don't know all about Josh Peterson, like how long you've been in Bemidji?
Well, since 1981, pretty much born and raised in Bemidji. I spent about from 2004 to 2010 working in Minneapolis. I'm a 21-year, I wouldn't say veteran, but broadcast journalist. I just marked 21 years in broadcast journalism and have been doing that consistently with WCCO-TV, mainly on a freelance basis since 2010. But also with Lakeland News. I started with Lakeland News in 98, 99, and went from there to work for CCO's former station, KCCO, KCCW, and went from there to Minneapolis, and then went full circle and came back to Bemidji, briefly worked at Bemidji High School, and went back to work at Lakeland after a little while, and worked there as a anchor and reporter for over 5 years, and I still fill in from time to time on the news at the news desk, anchoring and filling in for Dennis Wyman. But yeah, other than that, education, graduated from Bemidji High School in 2000, Bemidji State University with a degree in mass communication and broadcast journalism, electronic media in 2004. And then I worked on a second degree at the University of Minnesota in 2007 in political science, where I also became a lettered U of M athlete in, go figure, cheerleading. So...
All right. Well, so I know you've been a big part of the Bemidji JCs, and you're the one that actually recruited me. And I just got to say, this feels weird interviewing you.
Yes, it's weird being on the opposite end of this.
Interview other people together. It's just odd.
Yes, you know, it is different for me to be on the opposite end of this. You know, because you know, we in news, you know, always kind of keep ourselves on the other side of everything. So it's weird being on the flip side of this.
Yeah,
but, I mean, I've been in the JCs. Oops, sorry about that. I've been on the JCs since 2015, I believe. Yeah, I just marked 5 years, so I'm going on my sixth year this year in the JCs, and I've chaired Water Carnival 3 times for City of Lights, 5 times, and worked on, you know, rebranding and remarketing and rebranding the chapter, and also credited with growing the chapter and doubling the size of the chapter in 2017 to making us ranked one of the best chapters in the United States. So,
all right, Josh, so what made you want to run for council?
So what made me want to run for council is this has been something that's always been on the back of my mind, and I even talked about it when I was attending Bemidji High School back in, you know, 98, 99, 2000, something that I always, you know, kind of wanted to do. But, you know, the journalism bug got me, and, you know, I went that route. But, you know, recently I bought the house my grandfather built in town, and covering the news, you get to learn and see all aspects of everything that takes place within local government. You have your finger on the pulse of everything that's going on, and it was just something that always wanted me to get involved. I'm not one to sit back, and, you know, I like to throw myself into just about everything. And, you know, there's issues that are really, you know, important to the city right now. And the city's kind of, we're looking at, you know, the next generation of Bemidji here and the future of Bemidji. And we're kind of at a crossroads. You know, there's a lot of infrastructure needs. There's a lot of public safety needs. And there's also, you know, I'm a kind of a visionary person. I like to set long-term goals, big goals that maybe some will even laugh at. Paul Bunyan's Christmas tree was a prime example. I remember saying, on a bus down to the Bemidji Day at the Capitol, I'm going to have a giant Christmas tree down at the lakefront someday. And, you know, everyone was just like, oh, you're crazy, it'll never happen. And we made it happen. You know, having a vision, I think, for Bemidji and kind of setting long-term goals is something that I think we need to do and look at doing as a city and finishing projects that we've, you know, already started and set out to actually complete them. So.
All right, my next few questions are on some specific city issues I'm sure the both of us have covered in our news jobs. But about half the city is non-taxable land and property, so a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining city property taxpayers. What solutions do you think would solve that problem?
Well, one thing we need to do is grow the current tax base within our city limits without raising taxes on those that are already paying high property taxes and high taxes already. We need to find ways to, you know, lower those property taxes, but also we need to find ways to make Bemidji more attractive and business friendly so that we can attract new business, attract new jobs by raising more taxable income without raising taxes and further burdening those that already live here and work within the city.
And what are your thoughts on a hospitality or sales tax to relieve some of that burden, especially for those Sanford Event Center costs?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question because, you know, I work within the hospitality industry as executive director of Visit Bemidji. And so when it comes to that, I would like to see some further research and further numbers. I think there is opportunity, and I think there's some flexibility with our restaurants and our innkeepers that, you know, they want to see improvements in the city, but they also want to feel included. And I think, you know, there might be some wiggle room there for the business community and the city to work together to come up with an objective to help make that happen.
All right, so my next question is on the famous Highway 197 corridor. MnDOT plans to work on that stretch of highway in 2024, and that plan for those six roundabouts was famously scrapped, and they're back to the drawing board. What do you think should happen there?
So 197 runs right through the heart of Ward 2. So this is something that I've been out door knocking and, you know, introducing myself and meeting with the constituents in Ward 2. And they all are talking about, you know, the proposed roundabouts. And those roundabouts, I have a gut feeling, are not going to go away. I, you know, briefly worked at MnDOT, and it was a proposal, you know, originally that was supposed to be just, you know, updating the street, a new overlay, some sidewalks, maybe some street lighting was discussed at one time. But then roundabouts got added, and that eats away, you know, speaking of property taxes, those property taxes then we lose taxable dollars there because people's properties would drastically be cut into to add these large roundabouts. So I am not in favor of roundabouts along 197. What I would like to see, I'd like to see a boulevard. I'd like to see some trees, you know, bike lanes and lighting added to that. 197 is a dangerous stretch, and I think there's improvements that need to be made, but I also think we need to look beyond roundabouts as just, tell-all, save-all, you know, option. I think there's other things out there. There's communities around the state of Minnesota and in our neighboring states that have had similar issues and have made things work without roundabouts. And so I'd like to see some examples and actually explore some different opportunities for that stretch of highway to make an improvement and actually tie it in. I would love to see it tied in with the look and feel of the, you know, 197 as we approach downtown Bemidji. So it all feels like one Bemidji, one consistent, you know, look and feel.
All right, my next question is on the city's water system. The drinking water needs an expensive fix, and not too further down the line, the wastewater treatment plant will also need some doing. And without those legislative bonding dollars or a sales tax, that burden will likely fall to the utility ratepayers. What are your thoughts on the project and possible funding or lobbying solutions?
So obviously water is an important need, and it's important for our business community. It's important to attract growing and adding new business to our area. And with wastewater being near capacity already, you know, we need to make that available so that we can actually bring in those, you know, jobs and bring in those larger businesses to, you know, set up in Bemidji. I do feel that we need to explore more options. And I mean, the standards keep always evolving and changing. So I would like to see something more concrete as to, you know, they're not going to change it next year once we build this thing. They're not going to say, oh, well, now it's not good enough. We have to upgrade again. I'd like to see some more consistency. And I honestly, we need that wastewater treatment center to grow and the clean water especially. I just feel that, you know, it can't be all lumped onto the constituents and the taxpayers within the city of Bemidji. There needs to be some bonding dollars added for that.
All right. My next couple of questions are on some current events. Recent events in the city and state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as a council member to improve these race relations and trust?
You know, in Bemidji, we've had many groups that have, and I've covered some of these over the years. that have, you know, worked with race relations within the city government and within the public safety department. And we get good, great programs going. And once they're going, they just kind of, they fade away, or they're no longer in the forefront. I think it's crucial that we provide all the support and training that we need for our police and fire departments. Without them, you know, our general residents and our businesses would not feel safe. I would say we need to be more diverse and inclusive in, you know, who we work with and how we work with them, and include more opinions from those who are, you know, we need to have better representation when we make some of these decisions, as when it comes into play with, you know, decisions when it comes to any group that's out there. So we always want to be inclusive and respectful to all our groups and our culture. I mean, Bemidji's rich with tons of culture, and we just need to make sure we're including everyone and considering everyone's thoughts and opinions when it comes to making decisions.
My last question is on COVID-19. While many businesses are beginning to reopen to closer to normal, what do you think a city council's role should be in a public health emergency?
So in a public health emergency, I really feel that, you know, the city council obviously needs to be out front and really, you know, show a sign of strength and support for all people in the community, but also for those that are going to be greatly impacted, those who have lost jobs, those who have who own small businesses. I mean, we saw some great strides take place, you know, in helping make the, you know, the seating available for downtown patios and things like that. But I feel we should have been a little more aggressive maybe in helping things and helping get the conversation started earlier. I would like to see, God forbid anything like this ever happens again, being more out in front of it, even if it's just hearing the needs and concerns from businesses and citizens in the area, and, you know, giving them a source or a sounding board for them to say, hey, what do I do in this situation? We have that service or that communication already provided. Communication is critical in providing information that's important to all. And there was so many, I think, not only locally, but statewide and nationally, there were information gaps because everyone was saying something different. So I think partnering even more so as a city government with our local health provider and our county health, and getting a consistent message and, you know, helping those, you know, get out front of it and helping those when reopening can happen, that we are actually helping them and assisting them get through that process and being more upfront with the, you know, the latest guidelines and standards and relying on our resources that we already have and pulling, you know, those resources and tools to help everyone make the best out of a bad situation.
All right. Well, Josh, is there any other topic that we didn't mention during this interview that you wanted to be sure we got to?
Well, I think, you know, coming from a tourism aspect, you know, we need to continue making sure we protect our lakes and rivers and preserve all our natural resources. That is critical because in the tourism industry, that is why people are coming here. They're coming here to experience the lake, see the river, paddle the river. There's countless people that I've covered in the past and that I see through my job here at Visit Bemidji that paddle from Itasca all the way down, you know, to Mississippi on the Mississippi River, and preserving that and continuing to do what we can to encourage the preservation and protections of our lake and the river is crucial. I would also say, you know, we need to have a long-term vision. I would love to see the South Shore finally completed and developed. I'd like to see the railroad corridor eventually, you know, have a game plan and, you know, I'd like to see it come to full fruition to, you know, make things happen. We have a lot of great assets in Bemidji, and we started many, but a lot of them are sitting there unfinished. I would like to see us come together and finish these projects so we can move on to the next big, great thing for our community.
More Christmas stuff, right?
Always more Christmas stuff. Always more holiday decorations, you know. Yeah, Nightly Light for City Lights is a very passionate part of me and part of my life. And, you know, that's just an example of kind of how I operate. You know, I have a long-term vision. There's goals that are set. Some may seem a little grand and out there, but you strive for them continuously. And I think as a city council and including, you know, everyone's thoughts and opinions in the process, we're able to make things happen and work together to achieve those goals. And by doing so, when you work with everyone, everyone feels like they have a part in it, and everyone takes pride in it as one community. And I think that is something we need to look at doing as a city.
All right. Well, fantastic, Josh. Thank you so much. Josh Peterson for Ward 2.